Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign Guy along with Randy Zellers and QT Vokes. We are back with you here, heart of the holiday season, and I want to jump into things with our guest right away. She is one of the bright young ring announcers out there on the independent circuit today. Dolly St. Clair, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, guys.
Well, since today is your first time with us, we're going to start you out with the traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So, actually, it started with my home company, Emerge, in Columbus, Indiana. I had always watched wrestling, like, growing up with my grandpa, but I had never, like, heard of indie wrestling before. Like, it's just never something that my family had heard of. And then my mom and I were in the car and we were going on our way to drop me off to school. I was a senior in high school, and we did, like, you know, like the QMIX morning questions where you can win prizes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We did those every morning, and we had never won anything. And then one day, we won tickets to Emerge. So we won enough tickets for my whole family to go. I have three siblings and then my mom and my dad. We all went, and I fell in love with it. Like, it was so amazing to me. The whole idea of, like, the production setup and everything is what really got me. And then I noticed one of my friends was actually working there. So he ran the music for the promotion. So I got some information from him, and I just started going every single month and just offering to help out in any way that I could, and that's how I got my start.
Now, getting into independent wrestling pretty much on the very ground floor level of it like that, do you have an ultimate end goal in your career? Do you have a specific point in the business that you want to be at this point? Or are you taking wrestling more of a one day at a time type of approach?
Originally, I had just started going, and I wanted to be the person that could show up and, like, if someone wasn't there that helped behind the scenes, I wanted to be that person that could step in and could offer whatever, from announcing to valeting to maybe even wrestling in the future. So that's something that I had talked to JD about, and they are, like, my mother and father in wrestling, my trainers, everything. They mean the world to me, and they gave me that start and that push. So I started training with them and the New Era of Wrestling Academy, and got very little into my training because I would just do it before shows or whenever I could. I'm a full-time college student, so my time is pretty limited. And then I just started having some health issues recently, so wrestling is definitely off the table for me, but I still would love to get to announce everywhere.
Well, from what I have been seeing and hearing, you're definitely starting to do that. When you're being taught by people that have been around for a while and they are respected, like Darling Nikki and JD Mariani are, what's it like for you knowing that your teachers are very well respected, very well connected, if not in the whole industry, at least in that general area?
It's actually pretty nice. I've made some great connections through them and some of the wrestlers that I've met. The original people that, like, helped me get my push into the business were Cole Radrick, Donnie Idol, and then Nikki and JD. So having them and their fan bases and just their whole collective to help push me and guide me into wrestling was just a huge, like, weight off of my chest. I didn't have to really worry as much because I had made those connections through them.
Those are some pretty good people to have in your corner for sure. Not just my own bias speaking, since those are a few of my favorite people, but they're definitely very well connected in your area. And when you started going to the ring to ring announce, obviously you wanted to do the backstage things and help in where you could, but the first time stepping through the ropes and you're on an actual show in front of actual people, what was going through your mind as you were making your way to the ring?
So I was so nervous. I went to, like, a project-based learning high school, so I didn't have any problems with presenting and everything, but it's, you always think that you know what you're doing until you step in that ring, and it's so nerve-wracking. I'd like to think that I did good, but I don't know. If I saw footage of myself from my first show, I would probably be terrified. So my first show that I ever announced at was at Supreme Wrestling, May of last year. Eric Draven was the first person to really give me my shot at announcing. So that, I stuck there for a little bit. And then once I had built up my confidence, I was able to offer my announcing services to other companies and then grow my resume from there.
One of the things that I was interested in on your resume was a show that I was very, very fascinated with over the summer, that being Pawcade. I know that was a very unique show in a whole lot of different ways. You ring announced for part of Pawcade. What was that experience like?
It was so much fun. It was my first time really doing an outdoor show like that. And then I had Jay Rose was the other announcer. So it was really nice to bounce some ideas off of him and get some advice because Jay Rose is an amazing announcer. I really look up to him and everything that he does for the business. So I felt like getting to meet, I guess, one of my idols and work with him was just amazing, and the whole show was breathtaking. Definitely an experience to remember.
Now, speaking of outdoor shows, they're very, very commonplace in the spring and summer in Indiana because the weather is usually such that you can hold them without a whole lot of fear of bad weather or having to cancel them. Do you have any sort of preference as far as announcing outdoor shows or indoor shows?
I guess it doesn't really matter to me. I really like the acoustics of the indoor shows better. But of course the indoor shows tend to get, it gets very hot, especially just being in the ring. There's so much lighting and when there's a lot of fans in there, the heat just builds up super quick.
If you were ever to ring announce in Idaho in January, you would experience the exact opposite because they wrestle outdoors every New Year's Eve, and it's usually around 20 degrees.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I could do that.
I bet after the first match you'd be fine as long as you dressed in layers.
Yes.
Now, one of the things at this point in the year that a lot of people are looking for are books on wrestling to give out as holiday gifts to the wrestling fans in their gift-giving lists. There's a lot of books out there, both on the business itself and for individual wrestlers, individual promotions. Do you personally have any book recommendations on wrestling for people out there that might want to get those last-minute gifts this week?
I actually do not. I am a slacker when it comes to reading. I read my college textbooks, and that's about it. So, sorry, but I don't have any suggestions.
No problem. Now, you actually do have merchandise available, and I know people can still pick up some of that this week if they want to get some last-minute gifts. What's the merchandise that you have been selling? And on a related note, what is some of the merchandise that have maybe caught your eye that are sitting on merchandise tables at shows you appear?
The merchandise that I sell the most would be like megaphones. So because of my announcing instead of wrestling, it's a little harder to come up with different merch ideas. And then I make everything at my house. I have my own Cricut, so it's easy for me to get caught up on work and everything. So I definitely sell a lot of megaphones. And then lately, I've been selling a lot of bows, like hair bows, for little girls. So I just try to really relate to my merch and find stuff that I wear in the ring or that I use and try and relate to the items as much as possible. Oh. As far as different merch that has caught my eye, I really like the Mikey Buddies. Mikey, like Big Margugliak on campus, Mikey, he has these little plush dolls of himself, and I would just, if I could make one merch item, I would make like plush dolly dolls.
Jimmy Hart sold a whole lot of megaphones in his day, so I think that's a pretty good idea for you as well. You don't see a lot of those, at least in our area. Now,
yeah, I think from what I've seen, I am the only announcer that sells merch around this area. So I do get quite a bit of sales, which is really nice. And just the megaphones, my mom actually came up with the idea, and then we worked some stuff out, and they ended up selling out really fast.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that. A couple of months ago, there was the return of Emerge. It wasn't in their home base, but they ran a show near Halloween. It was a theme show. And it looked like you were having a lot of fun with this Halloween-themed wrestling show. Can you tell us a little bit about that particular event?
Yes, I love the Halloween shows. This year I didn't get to dress up. I didn't get a costume in time. But just the idea of, like, wrestlers and people that work for the shows getting to dress up in their Halloween costumes is super fun. I feel like it's another way to get the crowd very into the event because there's different things that you can do for that, like costume contest and everything. This one was very different because we weren't at our normal place. Instead of Parkside Elementary, we were in Trafalgar, Indiana, at a gymnasium there. But I feel like it actually went really well. Of course, with COVID, we couldn't have as many people in the crowd, but everyone was super entertained throughout the night. We kept it going. Even with some technical difficulties, our microphone didn't work, so I actually did use a megaphone for that event, and it was so much fun.
obviously, at the independent level, things are bound to happen that can cause things to go wrong, like the sound system not working, like you mentioned. But at the independent level, there's not usually a lot of backup equipment. They don't have dozens of microphones they can swap out. They don't have replacement speakers. They don't have 10 to 15 brand new mats if something were to happen that they can swap out instantly. It's a really ground level entry point for wrestling for the most part at the independent circuit. When something like that goes wrong and you're using the megaphone to announce, how do you perceive the fans are adjusting to that? Do you see that most fans kind of accept that things are going to go wrong at that level of wrestling? Do you see them a little uncomfortable with it? How does it look from your vantage point as far as the fan reaction?
It was pointed out that it was very hard to hear the introductions. Even with the megaphone, it was very quiet compared to the sound system and everything when you have the microphone. So it was an adjustment there. I definitely had to talk louder, and I'm not very good at that when it comes to just putting myself out there. So that was a challenge for me as well, just having to really dig deeper into my voice and be able to project it where everyone could hear it in the megaphone versus when I had the microphone.
And I think as you continue your career, you'll just naturally be able to get louder at the drop of a dime and be fine with it. That's kind of a learned trait from a lot of ring announcers. Now, one of the more unfortunate things that happens in our business is people tend to get hurt. We hope that everybody comes out of a show perfectly fine, but a lot of times somebody will come away with an injury, or sometimes people just have a really close call that scares everybody for a moment, even though it's fine ultimately. I'm sure you've seen a few scary moments. What's been the scariest thing that you've witnessed happen in the ring?
I don't know of anything that's been, like, genuinely scary to me. There have been moments where I've just kind of looked at or watched a move that a wrestler has done and thought, what in the heck? I don't understand how you do that. Like, how could you do that? There was one Emerge show where, like, the different ladder matches and everything, like, those are terrifying to me in general. But, like, there's different Emerge shows where we've done something different, and I've just been sitting at the table and wondering, like, I don't know. But, like, different times where there was one show where it was custom made versus high caliber, and someone's head was inside of a trash can, and then another person was just beating the trash can with a chair, and I was just sitting at the table wondering why.
That can definitely lead to some ringing of the ears at the least. Well, at this point in time, my co-host Randy Zellers is standing by, and I know that he's going to have questions as well, so I'm going to pass you over to him.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, how you doing there, Ollie?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Hey, I've been waiting all week for this. I just have to get right to it. With I've seen the Facebook post about the advertisement for a wrestling show, and it shows Mikey likes it. Blew my mind,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Blew my mind. I know you guys, like, know each other. You guys chop it up before a show and stuff like that. How is he inside and outside the ring?
I would like to think that he's the same person that I talk to outside of the ring versus who he is inside the ring. When he had his hair really long, like, I would help him style it before shows, and it was so much fun just getting to talk to him and get to know his personality. I think that just being able to meet some of the wrestlers both in and out of the ring is interesting because you get to see, like, varying personalities. But for the most part, I'd like to think that they're the same.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because we actually have, because where I wrestle at in the good old state of Washington State, we have a wrestler named Mikey, and he has, and pretty much, you know, he has, I mean, if we was on Zoom, I would actually show a picture of Mikey the Mustache Selleck. And I mean, and he has just the mustache and everything else. The mustache tells him everything. It's great. And he goes by Mikey too. And I mean, and I'm a big fan of Life cereal, by the way. Cinnamon Life is the stuff. I mean, that's there is no competition with that, I tell you. I mean, it's a grown folks version of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yes. I loved when the poster actually came out for that show, Mikey Likes It. I was so into it because it had the Mikey-themed cereal boxes. And then to make it so much better, they actually sold those cereal boxes at the show. And I believe Mikey still has some for sale.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? If I would have seen that at a grocery store, I would definitely buy it because it's genius to me. Oh,
it was,
man,
amazing. So it had Mikey on the front of the box, obviously, and then on the side were some of the other wrestlers at the event. Like, I remember Cole Radrick was on there. So it's really cool just to, like, see their faces and everything on an actual cereal box. Like, that was just amazing to me.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean just for all that and everything, I know that you guys have due to the pandemic, are you guys still actively running shows?
Emerge, we had our Mikey Likes It show. I believe we are taking kind of just like a few months break until everything kind of calms down. I'm not really sure. Emerge was my first show really back, so it's a little challenging.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, personally, there's nothing wrong with taking a break because I feel that everyone should take a break, you know, and wait till everything calms down and all that other good stuff. But and you're a ring announcer, and I think it's so bizarre to me to have a ring announcer on this show because we mainly have just wrestlers, maybe a few managers here and there, but a ring announcer is a first for me. It's a ring announcer. I mean, and I know that you guys don't have no problem memorizing, you know, where a wrestler is from, how much they weigh. I mean, do they even still do that, like how much they weigh and stuff like that? Because I know weight with certain people is a touchy subject to some.
Yes.
To some, not all. Yeah, to not all. You know, I say my weight all the time. I don't care. You know, but, you know, I really don't.
One of my first lessons from my trainers, Nikki Mariani, was really the one who coached me through announcing because she also announces for New Era, which is in Shelbyville, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So when I first started, like, training with her to announce, she told me, always keep a notebook. Every time you meet a new wrestler, write down all of their information, the exact way that they want to be announced, so that when you go to a show, you are already prepared, you have everyone's information. Even if a wrestler is running behind, you can make the card, and you know exactly what to say because you already have it. So that was one of my first lessons, and that helped me so much. I have an entire notebook just full of every single person I have ever announced.
Oh, wow. Well, that's really sad. That's really neat and very cool too. Back when you was like in high school or anything like that, did you have any kind of a athletic background or anything?
Not really athletics. I was not into sports. Still, I'm just not very into sports other than wrestling. I was a dancer, so I danced for 18 years, and that was my entire push into
What kind of dance did you do? Like, did you do any ballet or tap or anything like that?
Yes, I was actually a competitive dancer, so I danced literally everything from the age of 3 until the year I graduated high school. I was dancing tap, jazz, ballet, hip-hop, all of it at competitions like every other weekend. So it was very challenging. It pushed me, but I think that it definitely helped and still helps now. Even when I'm just announcing, like, it's still performing.
Whoa, go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead. I mean, hey, I'm not a very big dancer. I try to be dancing, but nah, me, I can't dance. I got 2 left feet.
I try to dance as much as humanly possible. I'm actually in college getting a degree in BABS dance from Ball State right now, and I'm going to turn that into a dance therapy degree so that I can always be dancing and helping people through dance.
Ooh-wee. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Shoot. A ring announcer with a goal. A ring announcer with a goal. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, ringing out with a goal and stuff like that, and like throughout your time watching wrestling as when you were a little kid, was there anyone who you looked forward to watching every time that you watched wrestling?
My grandpa and I were obsessed with The Undertaker. I'm still obsessed with The Undertaker. I remember he lived with us for the longest time, and I remember him, rushing into my room, Alexa, it's wrestling time! Dolly, it's wrestling time! And he was so excited every time he saw The Undertaker. We would lose our minds every time we saw him in that ring.
Yes, yes. The Undertaker, I mean, that guy's a household name, I'll tell you that much. I mean, I remember The Undertaker when he wrestled as Mean Mark in WCW way back in the day. And as soon as when he made his WWF debut, I was just like, yeah. I mean, I tell you, you know how you take that one good look at a wrestler when they make their debut?
Yeah.
And you kind of look at it where, oh, this guy will jump ship soon, or this guy ain't going nowhere. Obviously, The Undertaker was one of those wrestlers. He wasn't going anywhere. The WWE was going to make their point to keep him there. Because, what if The Undertaker went to WCW at the time of the Monday Night Wars?
Yeah.
You know, would it be WCW that we would be banning for, or would it still be WWE? We don't know. Yep. And let's see here. If The Undertaker in his prime was to wrestle Sting in his prime, who do you think would win?
That's a tough one. My dad really loved Sting, and some of just the classic guys, Jake the Snake, all of those, the Honky Tonk Man, he was obsessed with those. So it's kind of funny to see the feud between my grandpa and my dad over which wrestler was better. And I think, honestly, probably The Undertaker would have whooped Sting.
Yep. In my opinion, I highly think that it would have been a great match with a great build-up. But hands down, I would call it as a draw because both of them are like both of them larger than life, household names, all that taken in consideration. It's a tough decision for me. It's a tough decision for me. But and on top of that, and I know that you've seen managers. Who do you think the best manager in the game was? Like Paul Bearer or Jim Cornette or Jimmy Hart, any of those guys? Bobby the Brain Heenan.
That's a tough one. I would have to go with Cornette.
Yeah, Cornette. Yeah, you like listening to his podcast? The Jim Cornette Experience or Corny Drive Through? I have to say, those guys are funny.
They are.
I mean, me, I like the comical. I like comical. Anything that, you know, when wrestlers cut promos, was there a promo to you that stuck to you and you thought it was funny or reasonable?
That's kind of like on the indie scene or?
Anywhere. It could be the indie scene. It can be on TV. It could be on the interwebs.
There was this recent one. I think it was, the match was supposed to be Paragon versus Miles Morales. And they, like, their promos that they cut against each other were just so funny to me. I remember watching them. This was just like a little over a week ago or something like that. But I just remember watching them and like busting out laughing because the way that they talked about each other and they were calling each other out the whole time, it was just so funny to me.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right. Yeah. Yeah, because of, I mean, promos, I don't know, to me, promos, because I hang around with a lot of folks that like to do hip-hop music and stuff like that. And when they have to go and they have to do a freestyle, like right off top, one of my favorite promos have to be when Hulk Hogan turned heel and he was running the NWO and they was doing a promo for War Games in WCW. And what stuck to my mind was like when Hogan said, "Stinger will be stung." Huh. I mean, Flair won't even be there. Woo! And that Stalin profiling and Arn won't be Arn anymore. That just had me cracking up like, damn, wait a minute. So wrestlers, we can actually crack jokes and the other wrestler would be fine with it? I mean, that's what kind of motivated me into getting into wrestling in the first place. Like, I can talk smack, and these people won't get mad because it's all an act. Hey, I can do that.
If you're looking for an indie wrestler that like cuts really good, funny promos, I would definitely check out Paragon.
Ooh, Paragon.
He cuts the best promos, in my opinion. Him and Ooh. Bastard Cassidy always just have me entertained throughout their entire promo. It's just amazing the way that they use their voice and just keep you entertained the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, any wrestler that goes by Bastard, you know they're going to have something funny or something good to say. Yeah, that's just me. I mean, that's just me because, hey, I mean, you got something like a bully, Mantile or Bastard. You know, I would not want to get into a ring with a Bastard because, hey, they got a lot of chips on their shoulders. Yeah, and it's like, nope, I'm out of here. Nope, I'm gone. Oh man. Well, and anything I have to tell you, I wish you the best of luck in your wrestling career and your college career. I really do acknowledge that. Hey, anyone that can be educated, that has the know-how and has the skill to be educated, yeah, stick to schooling. I know it's all going to come out good for you and all that good stuff. But anyway, though, I would like to pass you over to the one and only, the man that says jam is not the same as jelly, Mr. QT. Take it away, QT.
Well, thank you, Randy. Hello, Dolly.
Hey.
Dolly, I'd like at this moment to acknowledge that Randy Zellers was the one that turned me on to the South Park episode where they have a dance-off. Stan Marsh has a dance-off between the City Kids, and he dances to Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus. Randy Zellers pointed that video out to me.
All right, what can I say, right?
My question is, Dolly, have you yourself seen this dance-off between Stan Marsh and the City Kids on South Park?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, have you yourself seen this video of Stan Marsh challenging the City Kids to a dance-off, and he dances to Billy Ray Cyrus?
I have not. It's definitely something that I'm going to have to look into.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Randy Zellers highly recommends that video. Yes. Also, because you're going into dance also in studying. That's why Randy recommended that. Okay. All right. Well, Dolly, would your parents support your choice if down the road you chose to participate in a Hell in a Cell barbed wire match?
I'm so sorry. I didn't capture that last part.
Oh, okay. Would your parents support your choice if you chose to participate in a Hell in a Cell barbed wire match?
Definitely not. My parents actually right now, we had a discussion just a few months ago. I've been having really bad health issues recently, so my parents laid down the law, like, absolutely no wrestling. You can go and you can do your basic training, but nothing too major. So I know that that is definitely not something I would ever be able to do.
Oh, okay. All right. You're going, can you name the top three foreign objects that you have seen pulled out from trunks during your announcing career?
Definitely, like, gold chains. Oh, those have been pulled out so many times. Not necessarily pulled out from trunks, but I don't know if you guys have ever heard of picture-perfect Jordan Cage. He wears these rip-off pants, and he always just rips them right off, and that gets me every time. I'd say really just gold chains is what I've seen that's been, like, pulled out of actual trunks.
Okay. Well, Dolly, has Nikki Mariani ever gotten you into a Ric Flair figure four leg lock?
No.
Oh, I thought she may have done that just to introduce you to the sport, to break you in, sort of. And I guess she hasn't. Okay. All right. Well, Dolly, has your dog Marshmallow ever been in a cage match with a pit bull?
No. I think, honestly, she would probably take on the pit bull. She's a pretty fierce girl, but no, she has not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dolly, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, tell me that you may have had that you were at an event, yes, called Retaliation on August 17th of last year. If so, did you run into a female wrestler and valedictorian of the doctor's thesis in humanities, Valerie Verman?
I did. Oh. I met her. That was at Upstart Pro Wrestling. That was the when I first got my start there, I met Valerie and all of the other wrestlers. So, yeah, I've met Valerie Verman.
Oh, okay. Is it true that she is a valedictorian and a doctorate thesis candidate in humanities?
I am so sorry. I cannot hear you.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say if it was true that she was a valedictorian of her class in the studies of humanities.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Our wrestling sources say probably not yet. All right. Well, Dolly, you enrolled in New Era Wrestling Academy class of 2020. Have there been any written exams so far?
No.
Oh, no written exams. Okay. Well, Dolly, there was a wrestler named Flapjack Norton who ate 350 pancakes in one sitting. Let's say your dad cooked you a flapjack the size of a hubcap. How many could you eat?
I have a pretty hefty appetite, so I would say I could probably eat at least 5 of those.
One of the size of a hubcap?
Yes.
Wow, all right. Is that with peanut butter and maple syrup, though? With peanut butter?
No, just with the buttery maple syrup.
Oh, okay.
But the pancakes have to be chocolate chip pancakes.
Chocolate chip pancakes, 5 of them. We may have to challenge you and Sun Guy to a pancake eating contest. Sun Guy.
I am so down for that.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Dolly, is it true that last October was the debut you made at the Emerge event? And you made your debut, yes, at the Emerge event. Do you recall who was in the main event?
No. I'm sorry. I've just announced for so many different promotions and different matches that I have a terrible time remembering who was in what match and all of that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dolly,
but yeah,
you
that
know
was
the...
my first. Oh, I'm sorry. That was my first debut for Emerge as their announcer, and I actually announced that show while injured, so it was kind of funny for me.
No, what was your injury that you had to overcome?
Oh, so I had. The day before, I was in one of my dance classes for Ball State, and I had, like, rolled over my ankle. And so, just like any, like, if you roll over your ankle, you're supposed to take it easy, get it checked out, or whatever. So, I was leaving the dance building after my class was over, and one of the doors had closed on my foot, and it turned into, like, a really bad ankle sprain. It was almost broken, so I couldn't put any pressure on it whatsoever. Made it really fun to get in and out of the ring the whole night.
Well, now, what is best to put on an ankle sprain first? Is it a cold compress or warm wraps? There's always been debate on that.
I did the cold compress.
Okay. Take down the swelling. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dolly, do you know the name of Billy Starks' pet rabbit?
I feel really bad. I know the name of her dog, but I can't remember the name of her rabbit.
Was her rabbit at Paw Keg?
I don't believe so.
Okay, that's no for her pet rabbit and an appearance. Okay, very good. Okay, well, Dolly, do you agree with the general consensus that ring announcers should not have entrance music. Do you agree with this?
I think it depends on the announcer and the type of style that you put out there. As with different wrestlers, announcers can have gimmicks too to set them apart from everyone else. Personally, I don't have any entrance music, but like I've seen J. Rose announce before and he comes out to music and it just gets the crowd so hyped. So for him, I think that it works. It just depends on the announcer.
Okay. All right. That's very, very rare. That's the first time I have ever heard ring announcers have entrance music. But Dolly, if you had the opportunity to have the entrance music, would it be the two songs that wrestler Billy Starks had never heard of? Hand of Doom by Black Sabbath or Season of the Witch by Donovan?
No.
Oh, okay. Because we had Billy Starks on recently, and she had never heard of those two songs. Never. She had never heard of them. I was blown away. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Dolly, time travel has often been the subject of many questions on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show, along with the speculation of when we will have the world's first artificial intelligence wrestler, who, ironically enough, may have been captured on film in the 1950s in a photograph that cannot be explained. My question is, if you could time travel to the past with a Dolly St. Clair megaphone and a Sharpie, who would you rather have autograph your megaphone? Would it be Roddy Piper or maybe Major Grig Pappy Boyington, Medal of Honor winner as well as the Navy Cross, who led the Black Sheep Squadron in World War II and was credited with 28 kills? Who would you rather have?
That is a really tough question, but that is really tough. My dad is a huge Roddy Piper fan, so I would say probably him so that I could give my dad the megaphone and say, like, look, it's your favorite wrestler. Here's their autograph.
Okay. What if you had a choice between Roddy Piper or maybe if you could travel back to 1862 and you could have it signed by the gang leader of the Daybreak Boys Slobbery Jim?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. He was the leader of a gang that specialized in the Manhattan coastline, the robbery of ships. He was kind of mentioned in the Gangs of New York film with Leonard DiCaprio. Yeah. Slobbery Jim. Okay. So you'd probably pick Roddy Piper over him. Okay. Very good. Well, Dolly, the past 2 days have both seen Sign Guy and myself here in the Northwest. We've been hit by a stream of moisture from the Hawaiian Islands known as the Pineapple Express. We have had about 2.5 inches of rain. My question is, do you know a wrestler named Pineapple Pete, who was formerly known as Sugar Dunkerton?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Do you yourself have a Pineapple Pete t-shirt? That's what we're asking.
I do not.
Oh, okay. Have you yourself ever been in an unending stream of rain known as the Pineapple Express?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Dolly, you mentioned to Sign Guy that you, of course, recently started college. Did you see the movie Back to School, where Rodney Dangerfield has a run-in with a history professor, Mr. Turgeson, who is played by Sam Kinison?
No.
Okay. As far as wrestling, you may want to look up Rodney Dangerfield, Back to School, and Mr. Turgeson, history class.
Okay.
Because both Sign Guy and myself agree that you kind of take on the role of Mr. Turgeson when he's asking Rodney Dangerfield a question. We both agree
okay.
this. Oh, okay. That's your homework assignment. Very good. We're glad you undertake that. Okay. Well, Dolly, Andre the Giant was 7'2", 500 pounds, and King Kong Bundy was around 6'2", 400 pounds. Between themselves, if they could get together in one setting, they could put away around 135 beers. If you got together and challenged them to a drink-off in a 2-1 handicap match, how many beers would you drink? What would be the final ratio? Would it be 135 or 140-1?
I don't even think I could put down one. I am not a beer person.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dolly, I wish you good luck with your homework. Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield and Sam Kinison, and see if you agree that you have Sam Kinison-like qualities when he's yelling at Rodney Dangerfield. And I will turn it back over to Sun Guy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, QT. Well, Dolly, we have a game we like to play on the show. We call it Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. There are no wrong answers for the game. Are you prepared for some word association?
I am nervous but ready.
All right, no need to be nervous. You can throw all the heat on me if you need to. All right. First name, Hillbilly Jet.
Oh, that's a tough one. I would just say, like, Papa, because he's like my father in wrestling. So anytime someone mentions his name or Nikki, I'm just like, Mom, Dad.
Apollo Star.
Outgoing.
Calvin Kinkman.
Hustle.
TJ Kemp. Gregory Iron.
Colorful, because he always has these just like super colorful trunks.
Billy Starks.
Buns.
Charlie Cruel.
That's a tough one. I haven't seen Charlie in a long time. I just think of red because a lot of her gear is red and she always does like the red and black makeup looks.
Justin Roberts.
I have no idea who that is.
AEW's ring announcer.
Okay. I have nothing for that one.
All right. Darling Nikki.
Fun.
Donnie Idol.
Caring.
Chris Icon.
Bold.
And last one, Chris Lowe.
That's a tough one. If I just say, like, conserved.
All right. Now, we talked about doing outdoor shows earlier. One of the places that you go, like you mentioned, is Emerge, and they run in a school most of the time during normal situations. When pro wrestling events come to places like schools and church gyms and things like that, do you get the sense that the locker room is a little more careful with the venue compared to other places, or do you get the sense that it's just business as usual no matter where they go?
All of the shows that I work for are pretty strict in the locker room, so I would just say business as usual.
Well, Dolly, we are coming down to the final minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, if you want to plug and promote anything and everything, social medias, merchandise, appearances, your favorite laundromat, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
The only thing that really comes to mind, I guess, just one thing that I could put out there for any listeners, is to not only, like, support the wrestlers and the people that put on the show by showing up, but, like, a great thing that you can do is anytime you see an event flyer, anytime you see any wrestler or worker posting anything about an event or their merch or anything like that, just hit the share button, because just getting it out there makes so much of a difference. If you have a show where all of the wrestlers and their fans are sharing the flyer, it's going to reach more people, and then more people are going to show up and support that promotion and those wrestlers. So anytime you see something like that, just hit the share button.
I agree with you there. Definitely helps us all out. The more eyes that come across the event posters, the more people that could translate to as far as buying tickets and supporting what we do. Well, Dolly, I want to thank you very, very much for taking the time to be with us today. We definitely appreciate being your first interview of all time. We appreciate that. And definitely say hello to all the boys at the shows from Sign Guy. I hope to be out that way at some point in the next year, things being back to normal, hopefully, and give my best to everybody. Hopefully we'll get to do this again, and maybe we'll share a locker room at some point down the road.
Yes, that would be great. Thank you guys for having me. This was honestly so much fun.
We definitely appreciate having you on here. It's a pleasure. And we will definitely be in touch to get you back on here in the future. And fans, definitely, if you know Dolly's going to be at a show, go buy a ticket, buy some merchandise of her. She's a great young ring announcer. She does a fantastic job. So get out there and enjoy her work. We will be back with you next week, our final show of 2020, with the legendary Bill Anderson. He has done everything there is to do in the industry, long time veteran, so make sure you have plans to be with us then. If you have a show near you, go support your local independent wrestling. There's a few shows around the country happening on Christmas Day, so you can definitely take advantage of that. And we will talk to you soon.